Leo Tolstoy once said, "A man can live and be healthy without killing animals for food. Therefore, if he eats meat, he participates in taking animal life merely for the sake of his appetite." Welcome to episode 38 of Our Hen House, a place to find our way to change the world for animals. In today's episode, we will tell you Marianne's impetus for proclaiming that she shouldn't spend more than $60 in garlic. We'll give you our vegan take on the quaint town of Saugerties, New York, and Marianne will report on how her two animal law teleconferences went. Joining us today is Jessica Mahadi, creator of the hugely popular amateur vegan cooking contest, Veggie Conquest. Jessica will tell us about how Veggie Conquest grew from a seed of an idea into a phenomenon that sells out within 10 minutes of tickets going on sale.
Incredible.
For our review section, Marianne and I will give you our take on the top 5 stupidest named vegan foods. All that, some vegan banter, and of course, tons of current events from the world of animal rights. My name is Jasmine Singer, and I'll be your co-host today in our hen house, along with my pickled garlic, Marianne Sullivan. Now please, pull up some hay. Let's get squawking. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Marianne Sullivan.
Hello, my little hen.
Not very creative.
Yes, but it's so true. You're now famous for being a hen.
As are you.
Or a radical chick.
That was cool.
I know.
We're radical chicks, according to Time Out New York, which published a pretty prominent feature about us this week. Can you believe it?
No,
pinch me.
I think it's all, somebody's like playing a trick on us.
I know. I feel like people are just going to say, just kidding, and then recount all of the issues. It's kind of amazing. Do you want to know why it's amazing?
Well, I kind of know, but tell me.
Well, there's so many reasons why it's amazing. It's a very long, in-depth article about us and our hen house, but...
Well, long, in-depth for Time Out New York.
More importantly, it gets into the animal issues. It gets into the issues behind humane, quote-unquote, humane meat and how that's bullshit. It gets into eggs. It gets into dairy, it gets into veal calves, and it gets into activism and how people can actually take a stand against it. It gets into the interconnectedness of gay rights and animal rights, and it gets into the delicious vegan food that's widely available.
And it really isn't a very long article, and it still manages to touch on all of those issues in a very effective way. I love that article.
It's a great article. It really is.
And I'm so happy. I'm so relieved.
I know. I'm really just still in complete shock. So I don't even know what to say. After it happened, I called you because I first saw the article and I said, now what do we do?
I'm afraid people are going to think it's more than it is. You're making such a big deal about it.
Well, you're making
it's
a big deal.
It's not long.
It is long.
Well, it's long for Time Out in New York.
All right, I don't care. I don't think it's a big deal. Fine, it's nothing. Whatever. Just because I have a dress on right now that's made out of Time Out New York, it's nothing. I always dress like this. It's fine. But, you know, it's funny because the last 3 really prominent articles, we had this one and the one in CNN and the one in Tres Evente, the Latin American magazine, the one thing they really had in common was reporters who really got it.
I know. I think it really starts with a reporter who's looking for a way to do a story on this issue, and not that they just use us. I mean, we are superstars in our own right, but they do have find an advantage in being able to write about us because it helps them write about the issues, which we have found reporters who actually care about them.
Yeah,
there are people out there who care about this.
Yes, absolutely. It's and if you haven't seen it yet, or if you're not if you are in New York, pick up a copy of it at your local newsstand. And if you're not in New York, you could find it on the Time Out New York website. We also put it on our website, obviously. And it's in the LGBT section.
And what's the name of the article? Or what's the title?
Lesbian Vegans, But No Cliche.
I even love the title.
I do, too. And then she called us Radical Chicks of Our Hen House.
I love that.
I know.
I want to call us that from now on, Radical Chicks.
I love my little radical chick. You could have done that.
And we have our picture taken by our
Lauren Crone.
Fabulous Lauren Crone.
Yes, she really is. It's exciting to see it. And there were a lot of shout outs in it to wonderful people and restaurants and cafes. And that just feels good.
Do you think
good.
We'll get all free food from now on?
I don't think that was, I won't accept it.
Well I'm not saying okay. It was my purpose.
I would accept it, actually. But no, that wasn't, that.
Of course not.
That's
I'm
horrible.
I'm joking.
You're a horrible person. That was awful. So we had an exciting week last week, and we did something that is actually pretty unusual for us. We took a day trip.
I know. It was fun.
It's unusual for us for many reasons. First and foremost, we're just too busy to do things like that. And second of all, we don't have a car.
Yeah, it's the car thing that's the biggest problem.
So we got a Zip car, and we went...
It was a little too expensive.
Yes, way too expensive. And we went to Saugerties, New York, which is a quaint little cute town, which is not too far from Woodstock. In fact, Catskill Animal Sanctuary is there. But we did not visit Catskill Animal Sanctuary. We were visiting, among other things, the Garlic Festival.
Right, we bought lots of garlic.
My favorite sentence that you uttered last weekend was, maybe we shouldn't spend more than $60 worth of garlic. It's a good rule of thumb.
It is a good rule of thumb. I'm not sure we succeeded. Well, maybe, no, we were under 60, I think. But it wasn't just garlic.
Right.
It was garlic
products.
Mustard and garlic. Vinegar?
Oh,
that garlic
vinegar
is so good.
It's delicious.
Who makes that?
It's a local place in Saugerties. I don't think it's available widely.
It was excellent.
And a horseradish mustard.
We got some onions, too.
Some onions and some real garlic on a pretty little string.
Yeah, which had like 7 different varieties of garlic. Boy, these people are into their garlic.
Their garlic. They really are. I had a really nice time. Saugerties is very lovely. And we went to a little cafe.
It's kind of a funny town.
It's a funny town.
It has some beautiful old buildings. It's a little like gone to seed, but then there are a lot of cute little shops in town. It's like halfway in between being a tourist town and a lost kind of town that kind of deteriorated.
I feel
so
like
it's halfway in between. It has that little bit of that ghostly atmosphere, but yet it's not totally lacking in prosperity.
We went to a little vegan cafe. Well, not
well,
a vegan cafe,
vegan
but
cafe.
We had...
That would have been lucky.
It was called Love Bites, and it was delicious. Really
they had a really good food. I mean, unfortunately, not all of it was vegan, but they had a lot of vegan selections.
There were actually a lot of the restaurants there, even like the meat restaurants, had decent vegan selections, so that was... That was nice, too. I very much liked Saugerties, New York.
And we bought some junk at a junk store.
Yes.
A.K.A. an antique store.
Right. What did we buy? Oh, I bought
a hat.
That's right.
We bought something else.
Yeah. I bought a hat, and we went to a yard sale and bought a blue and white pitcher because our dish set is really, not really a dish set. It's just blue and white random dishes from thrift stores and
so if ever
like
you
that.
Find a blue and white dish, buy it and send it to us.
You don't have to do that, really. So, no, but it was good. And something interesting happened when we were at the Garlic Festival. I was walking around, and there was a pesto booth. And I went up to ask if there was, cheese in all of the pesto. And the guy said yes. And as I was walking away, and there were, 50 people, huddled around it, he said, is it a vegan thing or an allergy thing? And I was like, we're vegan. And he was like, well, keep up the good work. You're doing good things. As he's putting... cheese in pesto.
What is that?
It's so odd. What is that?
Like, if he thinks it's a good thing, why doesn't he do it?
Because people have that ridiculous disconnect.
They just let themselves off the hook.
Yeah. And you had 2 teleconferences recently. I think one was last week and one was just this past week. So how did they go? I know you mentioned them a little bit.
Yeah, well, I didn't have them. The Bar Association Animal Law Committee had them.
One of them you moderated.
Yes, I did moderate the one on farm animals.
Yeah.
And the first one was on United States versus Stevens, which was the Supreme Court case about the Crush Video law, which held that it was unconstitutional in violation of the First Amendment. Very interesting analysis. Joyce Tischler, Madeline Bernstein, and Michael Dorf, who is a professor of constitutional law, really very well known from Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very interesting. I mean, not only did he obviously know what he was talking about, really brilliant guy, but also clearly very animal rightsy and vegan, and I'm surprised I'm not more familiar with his work. He's married to Sherry Kolb, who has written some really good articles that we've read on Find Law. And and then the one that I moderated was the one on labeling of farm animal products, a.k.a. meat, and dairy and whatever. And it was an interesting panel. It was very balanced, and that's a requirement at the Bar Association. It's not an animal rights organization. It's meant to bring together all points of view. And one of our speakers was Temple Grandin.
So how was that?
She was very interesting. Of course, she's from the meat industry. She and I are not on the same page. She works with the meat industry. One thing that she said was very interesting. I mean, she's certainly very open about supporting people having information about what goes on and making their own decisions. And she had been talking about Cargill has some cameras in some of their slaughterhouses, and she seemed approving of that. And I asked her whether she thought that factory farms could have cameras in them as well as slaughterhouses, and she said that she thought that there should be cameras tracking the lives of the animals from birth to death and wow. Let people make up their own minds.
That's
so
great.
I wouldn't mind seeing that happen. I'm not sure they would make up their minds in the same way that she thinks they would make up their minds. Well, and, you know, that's what mixes things up. We also had Craig Pease, who's a professor at Vermont Law School, and Cheryl Leahy, who's general counsel at Compassion Over Killing, who really got in a load of information about consumer protection law in a short period of time, did an admirable job. So it was pretty interesting, and it was nice to see those issues being discussed at the Bar Association. Mm-hmm. So
I love watching Cheryl talk. I've seen her speak before, and she has this way of really, you know, being very professional about it and getting across her legal points, but just speaking with such passion and accessibility.
Yeah, she does a great job. Very impressive.
Well, you did a great job, too.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
Congratulations.
I said, and here's this one, and here's that one.
That's not true. It's a lot more work than that, and you know it. We made a video for the American Bar Association that went out this week, too. Remember when we were in San Francisco, we mentioned that we volunteered with Bad Rap to do a pit bull vaccination clinic, and I had actually taken footage at that, finally got around to editing it 2 months later, and we put it up. So
That's
fun.
On our website, too, our hen house's website. So if anybody wants to see it, they can see it there. It came out really nicely. Great job.
It's not hard to mess up a video when there's lots of dogs in it.
Yeah, a lot of dog butts in that video.
Well,
who has a cuter butt than a pit bull?
Pretty much nobody. Yours is pretty cute, but pit bulls.
Sweetheart, I'm so embarrassed.
So today on our podcast, we have Jessica Mahade.
I know, and it's just going to be so inspiring. I just think that the work she's been doing is just activism par excellence.
True. She created Veggie Conquest, which really has grown into quite a phenomenon here in New York City. So let's talk to Jessica. Originally from the Atlanta suburb of Kennesaw, Georgia, Jessica Mahade moved to New York City in 2006 to chase her photography dreams and to find a vegan community. She has done both, and she now lives in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn, and is a photographer and photo retoucher. In her spare time, she created Veggie Conquest, an amateur vegan cooking competition that inspires and celebrates good vegan food and the people who eat it and make it. Jessica has been a vegan for more than 10 years, and you can find out more about Veggie Conquest at www.veggieconquest.com. Welcome to our hen house, Jessica.
Hi, thank you.
We're excited to have you. We are big fans of Veggie Conquest. For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Veggie Conquest, Jessica...
I feel so sorry for them.
I feel sorry for them, too. Jessica, tell our listeners what Veggie Conquest is.
Well, it's a vegan amateur cooking competition here in New York City.
Yay!
That's the short answer.
Well, and where did the idea for Veggie Conquest come from?
Well, first of all, I'm like a total like Food Network addict, cooking channels, like, you know. So I've always watched a lot of cooking channels and cooking shows and stuff like that. So, but this was an idea that I had for a potluck. I guess it was last summer. I thought about having a potluck. Veggie Conquest, I guess I should explain a little bit more. Veggie Conquest is, in a way, kind of like a vegan Iron Chef, but for amateurs. So we have a secret ingredient that's revealed a week before the event. And anybody who signs up as a chef, they get an email with stating the secret ingredient and what dish they need to make, whether it's an appetizer, entree, or dessert. And then they bring it to the event, and other people can buy tickets as tasters and come to the event and taste all the food and vote on it. And we have a panel of judges that score just like on, you know, the cooking competitions on TV. So, yeah, so the idea came from an idea for a potluck where I wanted to have, like, a secret ingredient potluck where everybody would come and cook a dish featuring a secret ingredient. Well, that idea quickly expanded. I started talking to friends about it and everything, and it quickly expanded. And I was going to have it in my apartment, the first one. I was like, yeah, I'll have, like, 15 people, you know, this and that. And I was like, well, I guess we need prizes. Mm-hmm. So then I started thinking about, well, maybe we get people to, you know, donate prizes. And I was like, well, I guess we need a website. So, like, it just grew and grew and grew. And then before I knew it, I was, like, putting on this, like, crazy competition.
Yeah, that's so funny. Isn't it funny that happens? That's pretty much how our hen house came to be, too. It just kept, you know, growing.
It just starts, like, a, you know, domino effect.
And I just want everybody out there who is not familiar with Veggie Conquest to understand that it's even beyond what Jessica is saying. It is a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has just exploded. These events sell out instantly. But tell us, give us the actual specifics. Walk us through the Veggie Conquest event. How does the evening go down, step by step?
Okay, well, we first have, it's completely volunteer run, I should mention. So everybody that is working are all volunteers. So, and we always have the cream of the crop volunteers. They're amazing.
Yes.
And so how it works is, you know, we get there, we set up, and we have it at different places. We've had it at about 3 or 4 different venues, and not because I want to have it at a different venue every time. It just happened that way. But you know, we go in and we set up, the volunteers get there and, you know, we set up and it's usually, we have white tablecloths and usually the secret ingredient is featured somewhere, in the tablescape. Like for example, the last event we had was, basil. The secret ingredient was basil. So we had basil plants, the centerpieces on the table.
Yum.
Which also made the room smell really nice.
I'm sure.
Then the chefs arrive. They arrive and they have about an hour to prepare everything for the event. So they cook everything at home and they bring it to the event and they prepare it. And we have about 80 to 85 people that tasters that come.
Wow.
So the chefs are required beforehand to make enough small portions for 80 to 85 people. By small portions, we just mean like cupcake liner size, you know, just like little tasting portions.
Wow, that's really incredible. And what made you choose to have volunteer cooks instead of professional ones? Was that all of the inspiration from watching the Food Network?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I am an amateur chef and I felt like I wanted an event. I wanted to put on an event that I could compete in, that I could be a part of, you know. And to be perfectly honest, like, they're, amateur chefs are a little bit easier to deal with sometimes and scheduling-wise and things like that. But ultimately, like, it's just, you know, there's these amazing cooks out there that don't do it for a living but are just really amazing and they're cooking this amazing vegan food that like everybody should try.
Yeah.
And
totally,
but we do want to have some professional series later on down the line. So
wow.
That's exciting. Especially since vegetarian cuisine is becoming such a hot item. I for people who are out there curious how this actually looks, I just want to mention that Jasmine made a video of one of these events, and don't watch it on an empty stomach because you're going to be just crying. But it is true. Like, these people, you can't believe they're amateurs. Their food is amazing.
Yeah, they are. And that video is amazing that Jasmine did.
Thank you.
It does really show what the event is kind of about. And, you know, so many people, you know, it does sell out so fast. So many people don't get to go that want to go, and like, you know, my family, some of my family and stuff like that. So that's a really good idea of what the event's like. Jasmine did a great job. But yes, Marian, I believe that, Marian, you're right. Like, these people bring it, these chefs. It is amazing what they do. The first event that we did, the first Veggie Conquest, I was like, I had no idea what to expect. I was like, oh, you know, maybe somebody will make a couscous dish or something. You know, I had no idea, but these people are serious, and it's awesome.
Vegans take their food seriously. It's true. We take our food very seriously.
Very seriously. And you know, these people do it in their spare time, and they do it, you know, and it's amazing. It's really awesome.
So what kinds of prizes are awarded to the winners, and how are the winners chosen?
Well, okay, we have a few ways that prizes are awarded. All of our prizes are donated from different places, restaurants, cookbook authors, or Cosmos, vegan shop. They're always a sponsor of ours. You know, we have all different kinds of prizes, and we have first, second, third place that the judges decide. And they have a scorecard where they put down different points for they're judging on presentation, overall taste, and originality. So once the points are added up, that goes to our first, second, and third place. And then we also have the audience. They get to vote on their favorite, and they are the winner. Whoever has the most votes for that is awarded the Taster's Choice, which a lot of people think is the highest prize.
Yeah, I agree. I just remember when I was there the last time, that one was the one that everyone was rooting for, because I guess because we had a stake in it, so to speak, a soy stake in it. So that was a very exciting moment for sure. So what would you say is the overall goal for Veggie Conquest?
The overall goal for Veggie Conquest, let's see. What I would eventually like to do with Veggie Conquest is offer cooking classes later on down the line. I'd love to be able to, you know, bring it full circle and have, you know, cooking classes that get people started cooking vegan and then work their way up to the competition and then maybe even, you know, teach some of the classes, some of the winners and stuff like that. So I've been working on getting those things together, but those are still pretty far out. But that's ultimately what I'd like to happen with Veggie Conquest.
Have there been any other Veggie Conquest events in other places yet?
No, they haven't. You know, it's funny. I've had a few people contact me about starting a Veggie Conquest event in their city, and I'm very open to that idea. I fully embrace it. It's a lot of work.
That's clear.
A lot of work. And it, you know, it's like a full-time job, you know. And so not everybody has that time to do it or that drive or the motivation to do it. So I am very open. If anybody's out there and wants to start it in their city, I am open to them. Contact me. I already have the booklet put together to send to people to get it started in their city.
That's great.
But yeah,
I didn't know you did that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, like I said, though, it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. So the right people that, you know, that want to do it, I know that they'll be, you know, that contact. Anyways, scratch that. I don't know what I was saying.
No, that's fine. I think it's totally true, though, that people don't realize all of the work involved in event planning. They think that you just put it together, you know, that week, for example, and they don't realize that if something's running smoothly and doesn't look like a lot of work, then you've succeeded. And the months and months of work that you've put into it just is completely gelling perfectly. And there always seems to be, at least from my experience, there always seems to be something that's not quite right on the inside, and you have to like finesse it so people on the outside can't really see it. So I would imagine that if someone wanted to get a Veggie Conquest in their own area, they would have to, like you said, really have the drive and the time and have a venue and have a way to get the word out there and have like the press capabilities and have, I guess the venue is probably a really important key to it, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I mean, that's definitely been one of our biggest struggles is venue. And I don't, you know, I don't know if that's just because we're in New York City and space is hard to come by. Or, you know, I'm from Atlanta, and I feel like if I was in Atlanta, it'd be so much easier to get a space.
Oh, I think you're totally right. I think New York, you started at the most challenging place to get real estate in the world. So I do think that, that in spite of the fact that this would be an enormous amount of work, no matter where anybody does it, they would have it easier getting the venue. And I know
City will have. I think every city will have its own, you know, challenges.
That's a good point. Other people are not going to have the huge, supportive vegan community,
exactly,
which you have in New York. Exactly. So yeah, every place will have its own challenges. But I know those people are out there. There's so many people who would love to do this and who have the drive and the talent.
And speaking of which, Jessica and Marianne mentioned it that the event has sold out. Wasn't it true that the last time or the time before that, as soon as you put the tickets up, they sold out within a half an hour?
Yeah, actually, VC4 sold out in half an hour, and then VC5, which is our last one, our anniversary edition, that sold out in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. It's like seeing a Madonna concert or something. So I'm hoping that Veggie...
Honey, you're so old. Madonna?
I can't help it. Who do kids listen to? Lady Gag Gag? I don't know. So are you hoping that Veggie Conquest becomes a movement? Because I know I sure am. I could see this really becoming viral. You've already gotten quite a lot of press out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be wonderful, you know, to be able to, you know, talk about vegan food and, you know, it's, yeah, of course, I love that.
So tell us a little bit more about the secret ingredient. Do you choose it? And if so, how do you make the decision as to what the secret ingredient will be? And what, besides basil, have been some of the other secret ingredients?
Well, our first one was apple. Let's see, we've had potato,
yes,
squash, basil, and I'm forgetting one, and I can't think of it. But I choose ingredients that are in season. That's number one. I want you to be able to go to the farmer's market and get it, and it to be cheap, and to be able to get it local. The other things, and then the tricky part is picking a secret ingredient that people generally like. Mm-hmm. You know, like for example, I feel like mushrooms, some people love mushrooms or hate mushrooms.
Yeah, that's true.
And that could be a really bad secret ingredient because I could get a million, you know, I could get, you know, 50 emails after I announce it, like, oh my God, I hate mushrooms, I'm not coming, I want a refund, you know.
Yeah.
So I try and do something that is that people across the board tend to like. So that's the tricky part. But, that's kind of how I choose.
Yeah, I can imagine basil would be a better choice than cilantro, which people just love or completely loathe. So, and I don't know, if I were you, I think I'd be having dreams of, like, pears being like, pick me, and, like, tofu being like, no, pick me.
I'd just pick all my favorites.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care about anybody else.
So yeah, looking...
It's funny...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny that I can't, I don't usually choose the secret ingredient to look off the day before that I announce it.
Oh, that's so funny.
because so many people ask me, and I'm afraid that I won't be able to keep it a secret.
Oh, that is really funny. So looking back at your very first Veggie Conquest event, did you wind up having the results that you were hoping for in retrospect with the way that everything has unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, it's created this life of its own. It's so much more than I ever thought it would be. You know, I just thought I thought maybe like 20 people would come, and then the first one sold out, and I was shocked, and we got these amazing judges, all these people were involved, and everybody just came to this event, and they knew nothing about it, they knew nothing about me. And I was just blown away by it. And you know, over the past year, it's just, it really has. It's grown into so much more. And it's grown into this community event. And you know, and now we're also branching out and doing other kinds of events.
Tell us about the other events. We really want to hear about those, too.
Well, we did in May to coincide with the Veggie Pride Parade. We did Veggie Palm.
I just love that. We were out of town. I'm so mad.
I know. I never went to a prom. I know. Like, it's about damn time that I went to one and we missed it.
Oh, my little pumpkin. She didn't get to go to her prom.
So how was the prom,
Jessica?
There's always
next year. Yeah. There's always next year. Because apparently everybody loved it, and apparently we have to do it every year, so I'm told.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're being told what volunteer work you're going to be doing. And tell us about how the prom went down. Was it, like, did you get a good turnout?
Yeah, I mean, we had about, like, I think it was about 160 people came, and it was in a little field in like, Gowanus, Brooklyn, which I was wondering if anybody would make the trek out there, and they did, and it was a great time, and we were able to raise some money for Mercy for Animals, and also for Veggie Conquest, and one of the reasons why we did this prom is because these events, Veggie Conquest events, are so expensive to put on. People just don't even realize how expensive they are to put on. So I felt like I needed a fundraiser event, and my roommate, who's a DJ, she's like, why don't you have a dance party? It's a great idea. So that's kind of how the prom came about. So it was a fundraiser for Veggie Conquest and also Mercy for Animals. And because of, you know, the prom and we were able to do much more with Veggie Conquest. You know, we were able to help give the chefs some grocery money. You know, we were able to give them a little bit of extra money and just be able to get some more things to help the event run smoother.
That's so great. And I love that you're having a Halloween party. What will that be like? And do we have to wear a costume, or can I just go as, like, I don't know, a power lesbian or something?
Well, costumes are strongly encouraged. it is a costume party. There is a costume contest. But in Veggie Conquest style, there is also going to be a vegan candy contest.
Cool. Wow.
Which is actually open to anybody, including, like, you know, all of our Veggie Conquest events are only amateurs, but this candy contest is actually open to anybody, professionals, amateurs, anybody in between. It's you know, whoever can make amazing vegan candy, we want it.
Wow. Okay, you had me at vegan candy. So that'll be great. I just can't imagine what could possibly be next for you. You're thinking really out of the box, and you're making veganism the cool thing that it is. More people are realizing that it is very cool. And that's largely due to you and what you've been doing in the city in the last year. And Jessica, Veggie Conquest is also a sponsor of Our Hen House's launch party, which we totally appreciate, and have been so grateful to you for your wise words and everything else throughout this process. So thank you so much for everything you're doing to raise awareness about the deliciousness and fabulousness of veganism. And thank you also for joining us today in Our Hen House.
Well, thank you guys. It was my pleasure.
That was Jessica Mahadi from Veggie Conquest, and she's also a great photographer. You could visit her photography and learn more about that at jessicamahadi.com, and that's M-A-H-A-D-Y for Mahadi. And of course, check out Veggie Conquest at veggieconquest.com. And now let's get right into some news, shall we? Well, of course, for our news section, I think we should just cut our news section today, since we already went through the biggest worldwide news to hit animal rights.
It's all about us.
Just kidding. Aside from our news, there is lots of other wonderful things happening and not so wonderful things happening. But let's start with the wonderful, because I like that better. NYU has a very, very exciting announcement that they just made.
Yeah, this is something that's been in the works for a while, and it's been worked on by Brad Goldberg, who we interviewed a month or two ago on our podcast, and who's a philanthropist who donates a great deal of money towards animal rights causes. Love the guy, absolutely love the guy. And this is a project he's been working on for quite a while to get NYU to create a animal studies program. Mm-hmm. Which I just can't believe it. This is the coolest thing. It's an undergraduate program. It's partially an undergraduate program. It will create a minor in animal studies.
Wow.
So, and yeah, I want to go back to college.
I know.
And it'll also have other aspects. It'll be the development of curricula and
development of courses, interdisciplinary type courses that will involve animals and will be, I assume, eligible for this minor, the development of faculty who may be interested in teaching courses to help them develop those courses. Some conferences are in the work, and research projects for both undergraduate and graduates. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a very, very big deal.
It's truly amazing. And actually, next week on our podcast, we're going to have David Wolfson, who was also instrumental in making this happen. And he's going to give us the skinny on what the process was like, what the impetus for it was, and what the vision of the future is for this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. The chair of the program is going to be Dale Jameson, who spoke at the Bar Association at one of our programs years and years ago. Fascinating guy. Really, he's an environmental policy scholar and philosophy scholar, but he's always been extremely interested in animal issues. I think he's just an amazing choice for this. And for this to be happening at a school as important as NYU, this is just could change a lot of stuff.
And in the article, I've heard this statistic before, but it is shocking when you hear it. In the article, it says that according to Giving USA, which is a nonprofit that tracks donations, contributions to the environment and animals only make up about 2% of all giving.
I know. It's just astounding. Every time I hear it, I'm surprised too. And you know that a substantial percentage of that poultry 2% is environmental.
Right, absolutely. And one of the other cool things about the article was the
picture. All the money goes to the churches.
Yeah, it's totally true. We should start a church.
Yeah.
Another cool thing about the article is the fantastic picture that they drew of Brad. Wasn't that cool?
I know. Well, that was very Wall Street Journal. They always have those little drawings. Yeah, it looked great.
Something else that looks great is a new book that's coming out called CAFO, A Must Read for Any Conscious Eater.
Yeah, this is a companion to a book that we bought a while back, which is CAFO, A Reader. And this is going to be a big coffee table size book, though I'm not sure you would want, what party would you want to go to that this would be on the coffee table? I don't
know. Maybe you should bring that as a gift, as like a housewarming gift for your meat eating friends.
A coffee table book. CAFO.
But it's going to have like huge pictures and essays by
Matthew Scully, who wrote for Sarah Palin and all that crap, but
he's but also wrote the wonderful book Dominion.
And who else?
The usual suspects, Michael Pollan, Wendell Berry, Anna LaPay, Eric Schlosser. It looks to be full of really, really good, hard information in a very elaborate and photographic format. Should be interesting. I'm looking forward to getting a look at it. It's supposed to be coming out in early October.
Yeah, we definitely need to get our hands on that. Eric Marcus had a very interesting commentary on vegan.com.
Yeah, Eric doesn't usually write really long articles, but he did choose to write one about this. The story was, sadly enough, not a particularly notable story. 60,000 chickens were found dead in North Carolina at a factory farm because of a failed generator, which killed the facility's ventilation system. And that's not really big news because those kind of things happen all the time. But he took the opportunity to write a very nice piece, much longer than his usual pieces, about one of the fundamental flaws in factory farming that really hasn't been the focus of legislative reform or attempted legislative reform, and that's the fact that he calls them ghost ships. These facilities, these animals are really abandoned in them. Nobody's taking care of them. Nobody's ever in them. And if anything goes wrong, because the animals are in such perilous conditions, packed in so tight, that if anything goes wrong, they just die, and they die long, lingering, horrible, miserable deaths. Right. Of course, they're slated for miserable deaths anyway, but that's hardly an excuse and really an impassioned plea. So I encourage people to take a look at his essay.
Yeah, I think his website just in general is really fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We should get him on our podcast.
Incredibly informative. Right. We get so much of our information from his blog. He really
vegan.com.
Does a terrific job.
And he managed to get the URL vegan.com.
Yeah, nice work. He was out there ahead of the game.
So what's going on with the crush videos?
Yeah, well, Congress has passed the law. It didn't take them long, long enough. But after the Supreme Court struck down the former crush video law, which was very broadly written and really covered a lot more than crush videos, and struck it down as unconstitutional, the Congress has now passed the new legislation, which is much more narrowly tailored to just focus on crush videos. And it's still not certain. There are a lot of different views on whether this one will pass constitutional scrutiny, should it ever go to the courts. And the ACLU is actually opposing it, says it is unconstitutional. But this one isn't as likely to get into court as the other one, because the prosecutions under this are going to be really against people who are selling crush videos. So we'll see what happens. And one of the things that I think is extraordinarily notable about this, I mean, I assume most people listening know what crush videos are. They're videos taken for the sexual gratification of very odd people who get off on watching women in stiletto high heels crush small animals to death. God. Yeah. Humans. What a species.
Seriously.
But one of the things that I think is notable is that this piece of legislation has a customary farming practice exemption. They did not seem to feel that they were able to write a law that banned that kind of practice without also implicating some things that are done to farm animals every day. So we better exempt them so we can continue to do them. Just shows you what a sick little world we live in.
And that was our news. Okay, now we're going to talk about something that's been bugging us for a while. We have been eating some very delicious food lately, and we started to think that there are a lot of people in this country, in this world, who would not ever go near that food because of one thing, the name.
Yeah, I know. I tend to blame people for being so unwilling to try some vegan foods that are specifically vegan. I don't mean vegan foods like bananas or whatever, but vegan foods that are specifically identifiable with veganism. And I take a step back and I look at what they're called, and it's hard to blame people for being unwilling to try them.
Yeah. So we bring you now our top five list of the stupidest names for vegan foods, and they are going to go from least stupid name to most stupid name. And number five is tempeh.
How do I pronounce that? I love the tempeh tumpu.
Yeah, it's just weird. Tempeh. People are not going to choose things off of a menu if they're embarrassed about the fact that they don't know how to pronounce it. I mean, it's not the worst word in the world. There are lots worse, as we will soon get to. Right. But it's pretty stupid.
Number four, praise Satan or Satan.
Yeah, this is a pet peeve of mine. And yet, you know, I'm so used to it that the word Satan just brings up deliciousness to me. But when you think about the name, again, I have no idea how to pronounce it just from looking at it. And it just sounds weird.
Yeah, I know. I just can't even imagine. I'm trying to remember before I was vegan. When, by the way, vegan is a pretty dumb word in and of itself. But
yeah, actually, Joe Connolly was on our podcast last week talking about Donald Watson and talking about how he specifically chose it for its hard sound, which I can appreciate.
Right.
It does have a better sound.
Right.
But yeah, then you get into the whole vegan thing, which
right.
I think we're past that era of the vegan pronouncers,
yeah.
But, you know, it's still pretty
annoying. No, and just knowing about Donald Watson picking it so intentionally makes me ease up a little bit on vegan. But Satan, yeah, it's almost as bad as
the other name for what it really is.
It's almost as bad as its ugly little sister, number three. Wheat gluten.
Yeah, I mean, if we weren't going to call Satan, we'd call it what it is.
Wheat gluten.
And that is wheat gluten. I mean, in the first place, it's something that people are allergic to. In the second place, it's just gluten. Who wants to eat something called gluten?
You know, it's funny because you look at meat products, like, for example, steak, which for whatever
sounds
reason, people
very
think,
masculine.
Yeah, steak. It's like, I'm going to have a steak tonight. But no one would say I'm going to have a dead cow because whoever came up with the word steak decided that we have to change it from, like, dead cow. Yet, whoever came up with wheat gluten didn't come up with a better name for it at all.
There are worse.
Which brings me to number two. Bean curd.
Yeah, that one. I mean, just think about it. I mean, I'm so used to it. And, of course, it's usually called tofu. We don't usually call it bean curd. But almost every Chinese restaurant calls it bean curd. Who in their right mind would eat something called bean curd? I'm embarrassed that I've eaten it.
It sounds like a disease. Like, I can't go out today. I have a case of bean curd.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's gone bad. Oh, right. The beans have curdled.
Right. Bean curd is bad. And the irony of the stupidest ever stupid name for vegan food is that it's probably my favorite food on the planet. You sprinkle it on anything, and it's absolutely delicious. And even more ironic is that it's really good for you. And yet, unfortunately, it's called nutritional yeast.
Yeah, I'm surprised that anybody's ever eaten it. Yeah. Could somebody not think of a new name for nutritional yeast?
Yeast, yeah.
Yeast in the first place, let's face it, is something you get and have to treat.
Right. I can't go out today. I have a nutritional yeast infection.
And then, even if it isn't that, it's the kind of yeast you put in bread to make it rise, which you're never supposed to eat. That's not something, and so it just sounds like something that's completely either a disease or inedible. But to make it sound even worse, then they have to announce the fact that it's actually nutritional.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeast isn't bad enough. It's nutritional, not even healthy yeast, but nutritional. It's a really good point.
Vegans have so many burdens laying upon them. I don't know why we have to carry these additional ones of bad names. There's also a few other bad names that aren't food items.
Like health food store?
Health food store is one. How about delicious food store?
Right. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things that they sell in a health food store that's very delicious that isn't necessarily healthy.
You know, what's one of the terms that drives you crazy? This is only related to veganism, but it's the term battery cage.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knows what that means. I once asked somebody if they knew what it meant, and they said they took a guess that it was a cage that had doors that opened automatically using batteries.
Oh, my God.
Well, what else would you think?
No, it's true. That's true.
And we use it so frequently that we think people understand what it means, but of course they don't. It's a ridiculous name.
I don't know what to do about this one, but I have a friend who felt that we shouldn't be calling products like, you know, fake chicken or whatever, fake turkey or even quote chicken or quote turkey because it was named after, you know, the oppressive dead bodies of animals who were killed for food. But she didn't really have a suggestion for an alternative. I get what she's saying, though I also get why it's done that way.
Yeah, I think that's an issue that people have very strong feelings about one way or the other, and there's arguments on both sides. But in defense of the people who would use the words, there's the fact that the other words that you could use to describe these products are awful. So no wonder they call them fake chicken.
Right.
When the alternative is to call it a bean curd product or wheat gluten.
Remember when we were in San Francisco and we ate at that restaurant, Cafe Gratitude, where you order the I am beautiful and the I am fabulous? I think maybe we should do things like that. I don't know.
I am bean curd?
No. Instead of naming dishes things like wheat gluten and bean curd, we should just name them adjectives. Like, I'll have the compassionate special.
All right, now maybe I'm going too far here, but I also think the word vegetable has a lot of problems in and of itself. It sounds like something scientific.
Well, you know, you might be going a little too far at that point, because then we could
meat
just...
Meat is a good, strong Anglo-Saxon word. Simple.
So
sounds edible. Vegetable sounds like a medicinal formula.
I guess that is true.
But maybe I'm just getting into one of those moods where, like, all the words you say sound weird to you.
Like vagina. It's an awful word. Vagina. Okay, that was for another podcast. I didn't mean to say that. On that note, that was our podcast episode for today. Please.
And it was a strange one, or at least our
the last
was
part
strange.
Was. I enjoyed that review. I did. And, you know, it's funny. I want to say come to our launch party on October 1st, but by the time this airs, October 1st will be over, so I'll switch that to hope you came to our launch party on October 1st.
I hope somebody came.
I hope it was a huge success. And thank you so much for joining us today in our hen house. We really do enjoy bringing this podcast to you weekly, and we think about it all the time. And that being said, if you like what you're listening to, even a very small donation would seriously make a very big difference. Even a $5 or $10 donation would make a very big difference to us and would make us really very happy too. And it would help us to continue to do what we're doing, because this is a fairly expensive undertaking. And we are a nonprofit 501c3, so your donations are tax deductible. Look at that. Please also visit our blog and our website at www.ourhenhouse.org, and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And definitely, if you're listening to this through iTunes, please consider leaving a friendly comment and review for us. That would be so fun and exciting for us, too. And coming up this week, our tote bags will be available for sale on our website, so keep an eye out for that. If you're interested in animal law, you could purchase one of 6 animal law books through our website that were published by the American Bar Association, and our hen house receives 20% of that. So definitely keep that in mind, too. And again, thank you for being you and for being vegan.